Blog Talk Radio.
What you are about to witness through the power of audio and video will change you forever.
The views or opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests, callers, and not necessarily your friends, those of the host, advertisers, and affiliate stations. Search is granted as advised.
Heard on 50-plus stations across the internet and on brick-and-mortar radio. Stream to every continent on the planet. The last man standing out here in the new media universe. Many have tried to bring him down, and he is forever. Welcome to the Jiggy Jaguar Experience. Communicate with us online at JiggyJaguar@JiggyJaguar.com or dial us up at 1866-763-1242. Check in on Jigmund Freud at www.JiggyJaguar.com. You've seen him on All Access Music Group. You've read about him in talk radio. Once you. He's been on the 6 o'clock news, and now he's in your face and in your ear. Broadcasting from coast to coast like butter and toast, it's the Jiggy Jaguar Radio Show.
Back here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy this week, here on blogtalkradio.com, also buildgrowandenjoy.com out of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Jiggy Jag. We've got a great guest with us today, talking podcasting, marketing, everything else. Ray Ortega joins us. How are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Now, Ray, talk to us a little bit about Podcast Helper. Let's talk about that. You do some amazing stuff over there with Podcast Helper. Tell us about it.
Oh, thanks. Well, really, Podcast Helper, that's a Twitter name. So, at Podcast Helper on Twitter. So, it's just like the name implies, you can send me a tweet about your podcasting questions, and I will respond in a timely manner with an answer, hopefully solving your problem. And that really goes to support sort of outreach for my show called The Podcasters Studio at thepodcasterstudio.com. And that is a show, one of a few shows that I do, all about basically how to podcast.
We've got Ray Ortega with us today here on the BGE program. And I want to talk about podcasting in general. How has it changed over the years? What have you seen as far as podcasts changing? We've seen people monetize them now. We've seen them grow from just brief, you know, tech-related podcasts to all sorts of different versions. Talk to me about the evolution over the years, at least from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, when I got involved in podcasting, it was a pretty geek-centric type thing to do, right? It was a bunch of geeks online broadcasting stuff that was mainly tech. Now you see everybody's involved, right? Anyone from PBS to ESPN to Oprah, you name it, there's a podcast out there usually associated with a major brand. So that means more money has come into it. And really what it means is that the space is growing and it's healthy, right? So when I started in the beginning, like I said, it was just a few geeks online. And now everyone's starting to realize that this is an amazing way to create community around whatever it is, a brand, a product, you know, anything that you have that you want to start a conversation about. A podcast is a great way to suddenly be global. And it's really an intimate nature where you really start to, you know, relate to the person, the podcaster, on a one-to-one basis. You know, they're right there in your ears, and it's a pretty intimate relationship. You usually have a conversation back and forth, whether you are contacting, you know, like me on Twitter or a Facebook page or a website, or you're calling in feedback. So it's growing. It's growing well, and I think that, you know, it's just going to keep going in the direction of, it's going to sort of level off, or not level off, but it's going to sort of come up to being right alongside any other major form of media, which would be TV, radio. A podcast is really just going to be another channel just like those.
Well, we've got Ray Ortega joining us today. You can find him on Twitter at twitter.com/podcasthelper, and he's also available at rayortega.com. He's a professional web producer. He's done a ton of different things, and he also has the podcasterstudio.com. Now, you brought up Facebook and Twitter. Talk to me about social media and how that is integrated in with podcasting.
Well, as far as integrating it with podcasting, it's really just it's just another line of communication. You know, some people may see it as a form of marketing, and it is. I mean, Twitter and Facebook are sort of billboards for your podcast, if that's, you know, how you're using it in conjunction with your podcast. It's a way to reach more people who might be interested in your content. It's certainly, you certainly shouldn't be building your home for your podcast on a third-party site like Facebook, where you're telling everybody, you know, go to my Facebook page and maybe that's your only source of being found online. You want to have your own home for your podcast, which is a web page that you own and control. But Facebook and Twitter are great tools for talking to the audience who is also using those tools to communicate.
We've got Ray Ortega joining us this week here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. You can get more information on Twitter, Podcast Helper, at Podcast Helper, if you want to connect with Ray. Talk to me about when you started producing podcasts. What was that, the end of 2006, something like that?
Yeah, you've done your research. It was the end of 2006, middle of 2006 to the end. I was in the process of starting a video podcast. So that was everything from, you know, setting up the bones of your podcast, which is your RSS feed and your website. And it was a video podcast, so I was actually recording content. And then it went live in January of 2007. So my first show, podcast, typically when people think podcast, they think audio only. But video is another podcast medium. And I started with video and then went backwards and started an audio show.
We've got Ray Ortega joining us this week. You can find him on Twitter at Podcast Helper. Now, what were some of the major things that you learned along the way when you were setting up your podcast there, my friend?
You know, there's a ton of sort of hurdles that you have to cross and a lot of mistakes you can make. And, you know, I think that the number one thing is to set it up correctly. If you do that in the beginning, which is again, having your own website that you pay for, having some media hosting, that's where your podcast media files live. If you pay for hosting, you know, a lot of people want to start podcasts, they want to do it for free. And I encourage people to start doing some things on free sites to play around and see if they even enjoy podcasting. It's a lot of work. People find out it's a lot of work. That may be the most shocking element of the whole thing. And as a result, a lot of people start and then don't go past like an episode number 7. So dabble, start doing some recording, maybe do a WordPress.com account so that you can start blogging and writing show notes and getting used to the workflow. But when you're ready to go live, you know, make sure you control that RSS feed on your own website and have some hosting that you pay for, because you're going to realize once you start and it starts to become popular and you start to be serious about it, you're no longer just dabbling. You're going to find out that those are all things you're going to want. You're going to find the benefits of controlling it all for yourself. And if you have to change that all once you're up and running, you can really affect the audience you've already generated. So you really want to, again, own your content as much as possible.
We've got Ray Ortega joining us this week here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. You can find him on Twitter at Podcast Helper. He has an amazing, amazing series of shows, the Podcaster Studio, Podcast Quick Tips, and Podcaster's Roundtable. We'll talk about those here in just a few moments. Now, a lot of people blame, and I used to do this a lot, and now I still kind of do it in jest, but a lot of people used to blame podcasting, all of these things for ruining internet radio. Is that true, did it just happen to come around the same time that internet radio stations were starting to go away and more podcasters were coming around?
Yeah, maybe. That's actually kind of the first I've heard of that, so I'm not. You know, there is always this, do we call it podcasting? Do we call ourselves internet broadcasters? You know, I call myself podcaster because that's how I started. That's technology all this is built on, which essentially is just RSS. And, you know, I don't know if podcasting got in the way of maybe a traditional internet radio. I think internet radio had a consumption problem, you know, whatever that was. They weren't reaching enough users. And, you know, if there's a paywall in front of that, that may have been an issue too. So, you know, you could easily pivot and start a podcast too if you're finding that, you know, you need more numbers or podcasting is for some reason taking away your listeners, quote-unquote taking away. But, you know, I think that the ease of, well, really the ability to be just open and give away stuff free online via podcast is really welcoming. And, of course, that's going to draw a great audience. And being free, I think a lot of people worry, well, you can't make any money being free, but you'd be surprised by how much you can actually make by giving away information. So.
We've got Ray Ortega joining us this week. You can find him on Twitter at Podcast Helper. I want to talk about video podcasting. You were talking about video and audio earlier, and most people believe that, that podcasting is audio. Which do you find is better? Is it video or audio? Which do you find easier to produce, and which do you enjoy paying attention to as a consumer and a listener?
Yeah, I like to really be an advocate for video, but today a lot of video is just talking head type stuff where a podcaster who's doing an audio only show might turn a camera on and film themselves while they're recording their audio show and call that a video podcast. You know, my video podcast, when I think of video podcasting, I think of something a little bit more like almost like a TV show, a little bit more produced. And that is certainly going to take a lot more work than an audio podcast. And in general, a video podcast is going to be more production. Now, as far as consumption goes, you know, people wonder, do I start an audio podcast or do I start a video podcast? And the question really is, what are you doing? So my first show was called Produce Picker Podcast, and it was all about how to choose fresh fruits and vegetables at the grocery store, and that really needed to be seen, right? So if your topic needs to be seen, maybe you should consider it being a video podcast. But if it's just talking and you're giving out information or even entertainment, something you don't have to see to understand, that probably is going to lend itself to audio. And I think you'll find the consumption rate of audio is much higher for a lot of reasons. It is easier to consume. It's easier to take on the road with you or at the gym or wherever you want to go. So, you know, I would probably encourage people to start with an audio podcast because it's, again, it's easier to produce. While it's not necessarily easy, it can be. It is easier. Even the cost of doing it is going to be less in terms of gear, in terms of hosting. So all the elements. And then I would move to video if video is something you're thinking of doing. And I even encourage audio podcasters, they don't have to start a video podcast, but they should get into video, whether that could just be YouTube. A lot of people think YouTube is podcasting. It's not. I mean, it's a technical definition. But creating YouTube content is a great thing. It's a great way to enhance whether you're marketing or, you know, to be seen by more people. But it's a great addition to your audio-only podcast.
We've got Ray Ortega joining us this week here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. You can find him on Twitter at Podcast Helper. And you do video and audio. You're a video audio producer. Which do you find that more people are downloading and viewing of your files? Do more people watch video because of this YouTube generation we have here, or do people download the audio and take it with them when they go places?
I don't have an active video podcast, so most of my video does live on my YouTube channel, and that really is it depends on the video. You know, with YouTube, it just depends on what you're doing a video about. You know, one video might get 250,000 views, the next video will get 300 views. So that can be really different. But on a podcast, an audio-only show, you tend to create an audience that follows along for every episode, right? It's more serialized content. It's a show you're probably there every week. People become sort of attached to your show. They expect to hear it. They really become part of your community. And so, you know, audio, because it's so easy now, especially in the mobile age where you can download a third-party app and just press play on the podcast and go. I mean, there is no more of this old technology where you have to plug in your MP3 player, make it sync, wait, and then take it with you in the car. Now, just get in the car, press play, you know, and over your speakers, an audio podcast is there. So because of the amount of audio podcasts, the great content that's out there, I think audio is being consumed more. Video, of course, rises with alongside audio, but I think audio is a great place to start because you can really find your audience there. And it really depends on, you know, in podcasting, success comes with being niche, and that means taking a topic and really drilling down and focusing on one part of that topic, right? So if you are interested in cars, you're going to want to then maybe focus on Fords, and maybe you love Fords and you love the Ford Mustang, and maybe you love 65 Ford Mustangs. That is how you're going to be found and stand out in something like iTunes, because there's probably a lot of podcasts about cars, and they're just general. You don't know what you're going to get. Well, when you do a podcast about, you know, 65 Ford Mustangs, you're going to find an audience. And it takes a much smaller number of people in a podcast to it depends on what your goals are, but you'll be much more successful the further you drill down into a content. And so the difference between radio and podcasting really serves an unserved audience.
We've got Ray Ortega joining us this week at Podcast Helper on Twitter. Now, I want to talk about your podcast you produce. Let's talk about first the Podcaster Studio. I've heard a couple of these episodes, and they are damn entertaining. Talk to me about the production that goes into something like this, the science behind getting the people together. What was the idea of putting this together? Jump in there, my friend.
So I think you're talking about Podcaster's Roundtable.
Yes.
Yeah. So Podcaster's Roundtable is an idea that's been around for, over a year. When I heard that Google Plus was doing a thing where, Google Plus has had these hangouts where you can just open a webcam and hang out with 10 people online on video. And I heard they were going to do a version of this where you could live stream to an infinite audience. And it's called Hangouts on Air. When they finally opened that up to the public, I was ready with this show because what I wanted to do, what I really enjoy. So the Podcaster Studio, which is my podcast about how to podcast, it's fairly technical and precise, and I cover one or two very specific topics. But what I really enjoy doing is just gathering with other podcasters and having a conversation. So on my other shows and other shows like mine, the how-tos, they're covered. I mean, it's really well covered. And this show, Podcaster's Roundtable, which is done – with webcams and various people, different people on each round, I call them episodes, we discuss more of the whys, the sort of broader questions of things that affect new media content producers, really, and we call ourselves podcasters, but issues that affect podcasters, not necessarily the what mic should I have, it's why use a microphone at all? And that's a dumb question, but you get what I mean.
Yes.
So, it's a little bit of a challenge, but Google has made it very easy. The threshold is very simple. Like I said, if you have a webcam and a microphone, you're set to go. I mean, you can connect with people all around the world and really just have this chat session where you're hanging out with your friends. Hopefully you've put together a little thought into that and made it some good content. But then you live stream it to an infinite global audience that anyone can watch. And it's all recorded to YouTube, and a lot of things are done for you. So it's very cool. Podcaster's Roundtable is – I'm having a blast because I get to do what I love, and that's just have almost a casual conversation about podcasting with my friends.
We've got Ray Ortega joining us today, and you can find him on Twitter at Podcast Help. And amazing, amazing stuff. He has got the Podcaster Studio, and out of the Washington, D.C. metro area – just amazing, amazing stuff. Now, I want to talk a little bit here in this segment about the process of putting marketing together for podcasts, because there are so many podcasts out there, and there are so many people that have, for instance, I remember when Adam Carolla came into podcasting, he was pretty much worshipped as a god for podcasting because he managed to market it a certain way. But if you don't have the big bucks and the big support system like Adam Carolla has, and you want to basically get a little bit more support out there than what you have, what are some of the things to do? Facebook, Twitter, Google Ads. What do you recommend as far as marketing that people can do on a shoestring budget?
Sure. I mean, you can do all of those things, and it really just matters. It depends on how much time you have, and you do want to focus on the things that are most likely to draw people back to your podcast and your content. It sticks out to me that, when you mention someone like Adam Carolla or even Leo Laporte with the This Week in Tech Network, those guys, that Leo's success is based on, he had an audience. Both of these guys had an audience that they brought to podcasting. Okay. So it's not like they had to do a lot of marketing. They brought over massive people already. So people wonder, how come they started off with so many listeners? Well, they were on TV or radio for years. It is not overnight success, and you hear this story a lot. But, that's part of what they were able to do. But if you're a new podcaster who started a new show, hopefully you are focused, drilled down into a topic so that people searching for that topic in something like iTunes will find you. For the case of iTunes, if you want to be really granular, even iTunes has SEO, and if your podcast should be titled and subtitled all right there in your title, right? If it's the Podcaster Studio, you kind of have an idea we're going to be talking about podcasting. And then on the back end of that, it's a learn how to podcast or something that has keywords in it. So you want to be able to be found in iTunes. That's going to help a lot because the majority of the audience is still coming from iTunes, whether you like Apple or not. It doesn't matter. You know, if as a content producer, the key is to be everywhere the audience is. So, you know, that starts with iTunes, but then there's things like open source software such as Miro. There's a BlackBerry store. Windows 7 has a store now, which is the defunct Zune software. But all these places, there are each of these that you can put your podcast. It's easy as submitting an RSS feed. That's a whole new audience you're opening yourself up to. And that's sort of a do it once and forget it thing. Now, in terms of active things you can do, you know, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. Those are good. Numbers show that those don't necessarily translate into podcast listeners. So what I say is don't reinvent the wheel. Go out to other podcasters in your niche. Interview them, right? You're talking, go talk to someone who has a podcast in your topic or is related to your topic who has, you know, go introduce yourself to their audience, because when you interview them on your show, they're going to go back and say, hey, I was interviewed on Ray's yep. show, the Podcaster Studio, yep. and all of a sudden their 3,000 listeners suddenly know who the heck you are. Okay, so don't reinvent the wheel. And I produced a music only show where I just ran the board and the host did their thing. And, you know, what I would do is I would go out on Facebook and I would look for bands that they were interested in talking to. And I'd see that these bands had 75,000 people on their Facebook page. So we'd try to get an interview and we'd get an interview. The thing I would say about interviews is ask, because the worst they can say yep. is no. And most yep. of the time when someone says, hey, I want to talk to you on my show.
Yes.
They're flattered by that and they come on. So you got the Facebook a musician who has 75,000 followers, you interview him, and if you can get him or his PR guy to put that on the page, suddenly your content is all of a sudden potentially heard by 75,000 people who didn't know you existed yesterday. So
we've got Ray Ortega joining us this week here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy, and you can get more information on Ray on Twitter at Podcast Helper, also thepodcasterstudio.com. He's been helping people produce podcasts for a myriad of years. He's got an incredible source of knowledge, and we have him on this week here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy to talk podcasting. And as we have our final 10 minutes here with you, my friend, I want to talk a little bit about, of course, the one thing that everybody always wants to know, and that is, how do I make money with this crap? That is pretty much the thing. Now, my experiences have always been Google AdSense, YouTube monetization. I've over the last several years have found this odd thing called Fiverr. There's Music Business Network, which is kind of a Fiverr clone. You know, basically I'll play your music for $10 and, you know, I'll spin it for a week or whatever, and they give you $10 and you get it through PayPal and it all works. What are some of the easier things that people can do without having to basically break the bank to be able to make a little bit of money?
My answer is yes, and yes. Like in podcasting, it's most of the time it's going to be a little of everything, whether that is affiliate marketing is the lowest threshold, right? So if you're recommending products or books or music on your podcast, be an affiliate with Amazon or whoever sells your goods. Most have an affiliate program. And, you know, you make a little bit off of those links. You know, that's a great place for any podcasters to start for free. And if you're already putting out the word and promoting these companies, you might as well get a little piece of that.
I do agree with that, because we've had – I had someone make a suggestion to me about, 6 months ago. They said, hey, you have a podcast you do where you interview a lot of authors. He's like, why not put their bio and information on your website like you do already, but put an Amazon affiliate link to their book? And I was sitting there thinking, man, how come I didn't think about this before? So, yes, affiliate links, I do agree, my friend.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I've tried things like AdSense on my website, and you really have to weigh the balance between how much money am I really making from those banner ads mixed into my website. It looks a little spammy. It could sometimes feel like you're giving the listener the full court press on buy my stuff. You know, I don't find that banners on a website do very well. The best way if with affiliate marketing is to have great content and then it having a text link out to, you know, whatever it is you're talking about. So, but that is just one way. You know, with podcasting, you're not going to be rich. And if you come in, you know, most people are not going to be rich. You know, there are the Leo Laportes and Adam Carollas, but again, they have special circumstances why they're here and making so much money. And if you come into podcasting and your primary motivation is money, you will fail because you won't continue to podcast. You won't come across as genuine because you won't really care about your topic. There are a whole myriad of reasons. So, you know, even making money, it's going to take a long time because when you start a podcast, again, if unless you're one of these big media names, Mark Maron or someone who knows, who has an audience already, you don't have an audience. So you have to generate that. And it's a challenge. But, you know, in the beginning, you're probably the stuff you're putting out there is not that good. So it's probably good. No one's listening.
So you basically don't need like a sales force. You don't need somebody going out there and hitting the streets every day and basically doing what the traditional radio stations do, where they have salespeople. They go from business to business. You can essentially accomplish a lot of these things online.
Sure, online, by yourself. You know, a lot of times I do a lot of video work, and they tend to call us predators, and that sounds weird, but it's producer and editor. You're the audio guy. You know, you're the everything when you're a podcaster. It tends to be a one-man band operation. And so, you know, if eventually you build an audience, and I would say don't start thinking about sponsors till you hit like 5,000 downloads or listens per episode. And then you might have enough people that you can approach a sponsor, and if you can get a person to do this for you who knows how to do this better than you do, because we're all learning this stuff. There are no set guidelines for podcasting yet. I mean, there is no metric. People want to know, how much do I charge for an ad? Well, everyone is different, right? And if you're going to find an advertiser, it needs to be really related to your content, because once you start pimping that to your audience, if you're sending them to cruddy stuff, you're going to ruin all of that work you've done building up your credibility with your audience. And so you have to be very careful. It is almost entering into – it's a relationship at that point, almost like a marriage with your sponsor. So if you can go out and find a sponsor who's related to your content, that obviously is going to be a great way to do like a six-month contract. Say, oh, we'll do you'll give me $500 per episode, and we'll do an ad where I genuinely talk about your product because I use it, I trust it, I like it. That's going to see the most success. But, you know, there are ad networks you can join where they will farm out ads to you. You know, everything from like Audible has some programs. They're affiliate programs, but you can get like $15 when people sign up to the free trial account. I mean, there are infinite ways potentially to monetize, but it's going to take usually a combination of all of these methods to see any kind of, you know, decent income. And most of the time I call it beer and golf money, because it's extra money. It's going to buy you – maybe you can upgrade your microphone or your mixer in the future. And if you're lucky, at some point it can become a full-time thing. But that is an extremely it's a hard threshold to reach to survive solely on your podcast. And your podcast oftentimes may be sort of an – you know, I don't want to call it an advertisement, but an introduction to an audience that you can that you do other things for, right? Maybe you have a book yourself, maybe you do consulting, or maybe you do website design, you know, and you talk about how to do website design, right? And so I've found, you know, in the case where I do podcasting consulting. I am a full-time podcast producer for a living. So I turn this hobby into a full-time career because I produce for a large organization here in DC. And so I like to tell people there is another way to think about monetization. If you're doing podcasting right now, it's still early days. If you're doing it right now, you're becoming the go-to people. And as I mentioned in the beginning, all of these organizations who are suddenly realizing we need to be in this space, who are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to the podcasters. And so there is a whole new way. Maybe you can monetize your skill. And that's what I did. I'm making more money than I ever have. And it's a dream job. I get to produce podcasts for a living. So there are a ton of entry points. Sometimes you just have to be a little creative.
We've had Ray Ortega with us today here on the big broadcast. If you want to get more information on Twitter, at Podcast Helper, also thepodcasterstudio.com. And Ray, thanks for doing this. I really enjoyed the conversation and chatting about the world of podcasting and marketing. But would love to have you on any of our radio programs anytime that your schedule allows it, my friend.
Fabulous. I really appreciate the time, and I have a blast talking about this stuff.
Definitely. Well, we've got Ray joining us this week, and like I said, you can get more information at thepodcasterstudio.com. That is the place to be. You can get free podcasting tips, news, tutorials. You can subscribe to his podcast. You can also join him at Google+, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all the different places. He has a podcast up there right now, Focus Your Podcast Budget, which is a very, very interesting listen. So check that out when you get the opportunity. And we've got more next week here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy.